And we turn to Revelation chapter 12 and to verse 11 concerning believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and their obtaining the victory over evil and Satan. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. Three things which, if someone is being drawn to the Lord Jesus, if someone is causing them to think in their hearts, shall I be a believer? Three things if someone hears the gospel, that if they remember these things, commit to these things, and know these things, will improve their Christian way. Satan is angry, we're told in the last verse, with those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. But the power of evil is overthrown. The Lord Jesus on Calvary defeated Satan. And those who are in him and belong to him and are committed to him share that victory. But there is a battle to be fought. And a believer, I was 16 when I became a believer, is, if you like, signing up to a commitment to the Saviour as long as life in this world shall last and on into the glory. And there are three great distinguishing factors, attributes of a believer in Christ. First is that they overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb. Now the Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist said of him, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And the Lamb in the scriptures is one of the creatures of sacrifice who, as innocent victims, were sacrificed to redeem before God the souls of guilty men and women. The Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ, but he is without blemish. Part of the picture is he is without guilt. He has no sin of his own. The blood of the Lamb refers to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all on the cross of Calvary. That death was a substitutionary, atoning death. The word substitutionary means that Jesus took the place, being without sin, of the guilty sinner who repents and comes to that Saviour, that he may be counted with the Saviour in his death. The blood most specifically refers to the visual aspect of death. Blood was always a feature of the Old Testament representation of sacrifice. The shedding of blood does not of itself cause death. But here it is put for the death of the Saviour. And the expression is put in the Old Testament, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, that is, of sins. And the shedding of blood in death symbolizes the certainty of the outpouring of life. Now, you can have a bloodless death, but there were no bloodless sacrifices. And these sacrifices that shed blood were designed to show us the horror of sin. If you see someone seriously hit and bleeding very profusely, it shakes you. And to see an innocent animal, in that sense, bleeding to death, shakes you. And it is gruesome to behold the shedding of blood. And the shedding of blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is designed that we should understand how gruesome our sins are, to cost such a price to be atoned for by such a perfect, spotless, unblemished Saviour. The blood of the Lamb speaks of the outpouring of the life of one who was out sinned, the Holy One of God. The Lord Jesus showed his hands and his side, not his feet, interestingly enough. And he showed the wounds that were made in his side. The marks in his hands were made, as were the feet, while he was alive. The great gash, the wound in his side, was made after he died, after the soul had fled, simply to declare publicly and without fear of contradiction, so that Pilate would know that he was in fact indisputably dead. So the shedding of blood speaks also of a finality, of a reality, of a death offered on behalf of guilty sinners that was real, and serves to remind us that our sins are real too. They're not to be imagined that we didn't do them, or didn't think them, or didn't say them. And so one crucial belief, one crucial experience, is the blood of the Lamb. We come as guilty sinners when we begin the Christian pathway, with sins of which to repent. Terrible sins, awful sins. It is not for us to grade our sins. And if you think that some of my sins are trifling, think to yourself, how can something to a perfectly holy God be trifling? You know about things that fidget you and are but trifles, but you equally know that they are a fidget and they are a disturbance and they are an innocence. God is not going to have such things in heaven. It's not our business to distinguish between our sins. Some of our sins are secret sins we don't know about. It is our business to repent of all that we know, submit them to that atoning sacrifice of Calvary, of the Lamb of God, to be under his blood, under the altar, consecrated to him. And that is one means of overcoming Satan. One means, our testimony in Christ, of Christ, may overcome him. So a believer has at the core of becoming a believer an absolute covering by the blood of the Lamb, covering his sins. The perfect life of the Lord Jesus, speaking for him, making atonement for him or her, and presenting him or her to the living God without sin. One core mark of a believer, without which you cannot have Christian faith. The second is, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. A testimony is to give evidence. You should only give evidence as to what you have seen and known. A lot of testimony with regard to road traffic accidents is easily dismissed. You thought you saw it happen, but you didn't. You saw the fallout 10 seconds after. And that is very commonly the experience. But to be an effective witness means that you actually saw the impact, the build-up, whatever. But that you actually saw. And a testimony is to be able to give public, unassailable witness that will be received, though it may be debated, concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning the facts about him, but most particularly concerning your account of him, as we say, your testimony about him. How do I know that he's alive? Well, he's alive in my heart. But how do we know that he's atoned for our sins? Well, and his spirit is witness to our spirits that we are children of God. We have believed in his work. Blessed are those who have not seen, but yet have believed. And we have believed that that work on Calvary has taken away our sins. Now, our sins are not the same as other people's in many sorts of ways. But at the same time, there is no new thing under the sun. And our sins will be the same as some other people's sins. Not the same proportion, perhaps not expressed in the same way. Some of theirs we won't have, and they will have some that are not ours. But it is our word of testimony concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. We will not overcome if we attempt to be silent Christians. We are called, having been through the experience of being saved by the blood of the Lamb, to give a reason for the faith that is in us. To give an account, perhaps, of how it all happened. And to do that sometimes, is we need to have time to go into the background of our lives, although people may know it. And we need time to go into the background of the life of the Saviour and the Scriptures and how it was revealed from the beginning to the time of Calvary and afterwards. Sometimes all we get is 2 minutes. Sometimes it's a consistent testimony over many years among people we love. But the word of our evidence concerning the Lord Jesus both defeats Satan and is a mark of a believer in Christ. It is the mark of discipleship. It is a mark of a Christian, a lover of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their faith is not hidden under a bushel. It gives light to all that is in the house. Others are challenged to think of their sinful state and how their sinful condition might be resolved, how they could be transformed themselves. So there's the blood of the Lamb, which characterizes the core belief of a believer. There is the word of their testimony, which gives evidence to the world around of that core belief which they have. But there is a third thing. They overcame Satan. They overcame the power of the air. They overcame the powers of evil among all men. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto the death. Again, this may be subdivided into two things. First of all, the more common sense that they love not their lives unto the death. Here was a commitment to the Lord Jesus until the day they die. Here is somebody becoming a believer, submitting to being baptized, looking forward to being baptized, making the decision, if we put it in those terms, whosoever will may come, committing to Christ. But the commitment is till the day we die. Marriage, of course, is a good picture of this. And the modern idea that as long as it suits you can do it is quite different. And because of that human failing that we like to say about many things, as long as it suits, we'll do. The pledge is as long as you live. And likewise here, in this matter of being committed to the Lord Jesus, it's not while it pleases us, or when it pleases us, it is for all the days of our life, till the day we die. The Lord Jesus, and Paul also, spoke of mortifying, that is, putting to death our lives. That's what it means to be a Christian. You die to your old way of living, and are baptized in the water to show it, and you rise to newness of life. The mortification speaks of putting to death our wills, our temperaments, the things that we would do from choice, being submitted to the things that the Saviour would have us do from his choice. And that is described in the scriptures as a putting to death, a mortifying of the flesh. It's a hard thing to do. A believer may begin with some trepidation and follow the steps of the hymn, if you like. First of all, I wanted all of self and none of thee. Then I wanted more of thee and less of self. And finally, I wanted all of thee and none of self. But that's a stage, a series of stages in the Christian life. But perhaps we know from the beginning, I don't know, I can't vouch for everybody, but I knew, as I was beginning something that would never end to the day I died. And maybe every believer knows. I'm not privy to enough hearts or enough conversations to know whether that is the case. But it looks from the word of the Lord here that there are three things that characterize a believer. They trust the blood of the Lamb. They're strengthened by giving out constantly the word of their testimony. And they know it's for life. They love not their lives unto the death. There is, of course, the famous word in this same book, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And again, the word may be taken in two ways. Be faithful as long as you live, and I will give thee a crown of life. Because in the days in which the book of Revelation was written, The other meaning also loomed large. Be thou faithful unto death. A martyr's death. Even if you are put up before an ugly crowd, even if you're sentenced to a horrible death, even if you're lynched for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you love not your life unto the death. It's not so much that you love the Saviour till the day you die, which is the majority of times that this means for most people, but it may mean being faithful in that moment of martyrdom, in that moment when the last sacrifice is required of us. In this passage, both meanings are possible. It's likely that martyrdom just shades it. They love not their lives unto the death. Believers are those who value life more than any other people. We value life. We are pro-life. We believe people's lives are important. That people's persons and property are important. We believe that they should be afforded respect in their persons. But on the other hand, when it comes to our own lives, for the sake of the Lord Jesus, if that is the issue, we will not yield. A believer needs to know that in that moment, they will not yield. I think I used the illustration not all that long ago, that when they had the trouble at London Bridge in the shootings, and also at Manchester, but I think it was the policeman at London Bridge in particular. He was a rail policeman. And they had a huge meeting, a presentation of awards for railway workers. They do this every year. And because he was a railway policeman, he was eligible for a railway award, and it was a special award. And the reports of the meeting say that never had there been such a moving meeting, and never had it been seen that nearly everybody present had tears in their eyes. And even when the police had their own meeting, not just the railway police but others, there was great emotion, as there always is when a policeman perhaps dies, as the one outside the House of Parliament. Why? Every policeman on duty would hope that they're not going to get killed in the course of duty. That'd be natural. But when someone who lived like the man at London Bridge and was very brave, bought time for many to escape and saved off the robbers from killing three, every other policeman would like to think that in those circumstances he would do the same. And he fixes that upon the person who did. It represents what he would like to do as a policeman at the best of his calling. He doesn't know that he would. He doesn't actually know that he wouldn't shrink and be a coward. But he trusts that being in the police, if it came to it, in the call of duty, he would do like that man did. And even like the one in the Houses of Parliament, if need be. He would give his life. That's why they all line the streets and follow the coffin. Nobody wants to be killed in the course of duty. But should it happen, every policeman would like to think they would be as faithful. And it's not dissimilar with this, you see. Every believer wants to think that, should it be, they can't think that they might not shirk and shrink in the day of martyrdom. But they'd like to think that seeing those martyrs had gone before, seeing what the Saviour had done, they wouldn't fail in the day of visitation. So there are these two meanings. That the committed Christian loves not his life unto the death. It's a lifelong service, seeking to honour the Saviour. But if it came to martyrdom, we beseech the Lord that we would be faithful, as the Saviour was faithful, and as those that had gone before was faithful. So this is what a new believer, thinking about being saved, thinking about committing to the Saviour, saved but thinking about making a public confession. This, in summary, there are many other things, are the basics, the core belief, the blood of the Lamb, making atonement for sin, the word of testimony, the actual commitment that you have and why to the person of the Saviour, given to all who ask a reason for the hope that is in you, and others too. And they love not their lives unto the death, for life, and even for death. Who may the Lord enable us in our day? I think it was Athanasius, who was 80-something, when he was put to death. They said, "You're an old man. There's no need for you to die." And his response was along the lines of, "The Saviour has been good for me, good to me all the days of my life, and he died for me. I'm not going to change my mind, even at this age." But whatever, may the Lord make us truly his very own faithful disciples.